Rich, go to that screen. So we're going to talk about Ecclesiastes, life under the sun, learning to be content. It's kind of what I'm going to be studying out when I'm on my sabbatical, just going through Ecclesiastes. I mean, you know, sometimes maybe you feel like you're having a moment like Solomon, you know, like what's it all for, you know. But go take a look at this here. Go to the next screen, Richard. Read something here for you guys. We all have or will eventually face moments when life feels repetitive, exhausting, or even meaningless. We work hard. We try to do right. We chase goals. And yet the world keeps spinning the same way it always has. Ecclesiastes 1 gives voice to the question we sometimes have in silence. What's the point? Why does life feel like this? Where is God in all of this? And this is kind of how we are. It's feel sometimes, you know, when we think of things. We're going to read over to the next scripture here. Actually, the scripture here. Talk about the burning of life under the sun. Ecclesiastes 1 through 3. These are the words of the teacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Futility of futilities, says the teacher. Futility of futilities. Everything is futile. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? And we all know fertility, he's just saying meaningless. It's just meaningless, meaningless. What do we gain from all our toil up under the sun? And go to the next thing, Richard. And so the teacher is not saying life has no meaning. He's saying life is fragile. It's fleeting. It's frustrating when viewed apart from God. And we've been there before, looking at life, not connected to God or not close to God. We've been there. And so, you know, life is just, it's hard when you live apart from God. It just is. Good next one, Richard. Life apart from God is the illusion of control. A lot of us in here, some way, we like to be in control of things, or we think we're in control. And we don't control nothing. If you don't believe me, ask yourself, how come I keep aging? Why am I aging? You know, if one thing you can control is, I would stop my age at a certain point, and this would be my good age, you know. The myth of self-sufficiency, you know, as if I can do it all on my own, I'm self-sufficient. But we need somebody, we need help, we need things. The disappointment of human achievement. There's nothing worse than putting your hope in an individual or somebody and they disappoint you. And there's nothing worse than you disappointing yourself or disappointing somebody else. You feel that. You feel that. The emptiness of life lived on human terms alone. You know, we're just simple human beings, fragile. We come and we go. Go to the next one, Richard. The endless cycle that wears us down. We're going to talk about it. We're going to read through Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 11. Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets. It hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows southward, then turns northward. Round and round it swirls, ever returning on its course. All the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place from which the streams come, there again they flow. All things are wearisome, more than one can describe. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear content with hearing. I want to stop a minute. You know, Solomon, you think about a lot of things he says is things that we see today. If you ever watch the Weather Channel and it shows you the pattern of the wind usually goes what? It dips south. I thought about that. Like, how would he know that? If we got all the technology today, how does he know the wind is blowing south and it's going back north? That baffled me. Something that stuck out to me that I never thought about was, he says, all the rivers flow into the sea, yet the sea never fills up. That's like, I never thought about that. You know, just the water just continues to flow and it never overflows. just something that we can think about, where Solomon was thinking about here, just trying to figure out things and figure out life. Go to the next screen, Richard. You know, the endless cycle the endless cycle that wears us down. The scripture says, what has been will build again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That stuck with me. He says, in the case where one can go, that's why I bought this paper. I thought maybe I had, hold on, bear with me. Of course, it looks better on your screen than it looks there. In the case where, am I saying that right, Richard?
Is there a case where,
thank you,
where one can say, look, this is new.
Mm-hmm.
It has already existed in the age before us. There is no remembrance of those who came before, and those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow after.
Amen. Go to the next screen, Richard. Thank you, brother. The teacher's point points to nature. Generations come and go. That's just it. The sun rises and sets. The wind blows in circles. Rivers run to the sea, but never fill it. Go to the next one, Richard. Read it for me, Richard.
He's describing the monotony of existence, that feeling that nothing ever changes.
Wow. Go to the next one. Progress. Things will get better if we just try harder. That's what we believe, and that's what we think. Productivity. If I accomplish enough, I'll feel fulfilled. I think that's a false sense of hope there. Novelty. If I find something new, I'll finally be satisfied. And that is not the case. Good morning. And that is not the case. We're always searching for something new. Go to the next screen, Richard. There's nothing new under the sun. Human nature hasn't changed. The world's patterns haven't changed. Our deepest longing haven't changed. Go to the next one, Richard. The limits of human wisdom, Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 18. It says, the teacher was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a miserable task God has laid upon the sons of men to occupy them. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and I found them all to be futile or meaningless, a pursuit of the wind, as we know, chase out the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, behold, I have grown and increased in wisdom beyond all those before me who were over Jerusalem, and my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. So I set my mind to know wisdom and madness and folly. I learned that this too is a pursuit of the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow, and as knowledge grows, grief increased. Go to the next one, Richard. You know, I thought about that. See, with much knowledge comes much sorrow, and with growth, grief increase. As long as you keep living and keep growing, you experience a lot of those things. You read that for us, Richard?
With much wisdom comes much sorrow.
Go to the next one. Read that one, too.
The more clearly you see the world, the more clearly you see the brokenness, its injustice, its limitations, your own inability to fix it.
Go to the next one.
Human wisdom can diagnose the problem, but it cannot cure the disease.
Wow. Go to the next one. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. You know, we think we can fix a lot of things. We just think we can fix everything. But our wisdom, us being the smarter person in the room, you know, we're just limited. And sometimes we forget that. I think we have this heart and desire to say, I want to fix it, I can make it right, I can do it. But what God reminds us, you're limited. You just can't. So what does Ecclesiastes 1 teach us? Go to the next one, Richard. It tears down false hope so that you, meaning us, what's that word there, Richard? Read for me.
Can build your life on a true one.
Thank you, brother. And it's Jesus. Go to the next one, Richard. It tears down false hope so that you can build your life on a true one, Jesus. Wanted to make sure we got that and put it up there twice. Sometimes we don't think about that. Go to the next one, Richard. Read it for us, Richard.
Ecclesiastes 1 exposes the emptiness of self-made meaning, the futility of human-centered living, the limits of early wisdom.
Amen. Go to the next one, Richard. Why does it do that? Why does it expose that? So that you would turn to God who gives meaning. The God who gives purpose. The God who gives life, who gives eternal life. Ecclesiastes 1 is the diagnosis, not the prescription. It shows the sickness, so we will seek the healer. You know, midweek we talked about, I think it was Matthew 9, 35-36. And it was Jesus, talked about how Jesus was going through the towns. And when he got to the town, it says he saw the people, they were harassed and helpless. And the meaning of that was just that life had beaten them down. Talking about them being harassed, just beating them down. We know what it's like. We feel like, man, life is just beating us down. When you're a little younger, you feel like, okay, life is good, it's great, sunny days, spring days. But when you keep living, man, you feel that man, life is just, it's been rough, you know? And so, you know, what's the cure, you know? You know, where did I get the help from? And, you know, Jesus said, you know, it's only through Jesus, you know? People need something, need someone that can help and help them to heal. Go to the next screen, Richard. So what is the answer to Ecclesiastes 1? Go to the next scripture. The gospel, where Ecclesiastes says vapor, the gospel says eternal. When I thought about this terminology, this word vapor, we've all heard it. It said life is but a vapor. We've seen ministers hold a can up in their service and they spread, just a reminder, like, life is just that short. It's just a mist, you know, a vapor. But the answer to Ecclesiastes 1 is, the gospel says eternity. Where Ecclesiastes says nothing new, Jesus says, I make all things new. I thought that was powerful. Where Ecclesiastes says no remembrance, Jesus says, your names are written in heaven. You know, Solomon was searching. We're benefiting from what Solomon went through during his time period and the things he had to deal with. And we have the gospel. We basically have the answer to a lot of things that Solomon was searching for. I couldn't imagine being in that generation, that time, searching and not necessarily having the answers that I want. I'm the most powerful man. I have all the money, all the wealth. I'm the smartest guy during that time. I have all the wisdom. And yet I'm saying everything is meaningless. But us, when I look at us in our time, I think we have it better than Solomon. Because we have the answer. Answer that he was searching for. Go to the next frame, Richard. In Christ, your labor is not in vain. Your suffering is not wasted. Your life is not meaningless. And your story is not forgotten. So I'm going to do a couple of questions here, but you go next screen. I don't know if it's going to come up good. So what do we need to do? Read that for me, Richard.
To stop pretending we're in control.
So what do we need to do to stop pretending that we are in control? What are some of the things that we need to do?
Surrender.
Is it easy to surrender?
And pray.
Yeah.
Somebody described prayer as relinquishing control you never had to God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We have to accept what we can control.
Mm-hmm. You know, life is a gift. When studying Ecclesiastes 1, one of the things that pointed out that life is a gift and we take it for granted sometimes. We take it as we have this monopoly on our life and we control everything, but we need to see it from God's perspective. This is a gift. Mm-hmm. It's not owed to me, you know, and I need to view it as such, you know. And let God have the control, and I just need to learn to be content and live the life that God has destined for me to live. Read the next one, Richard.
What do we do to stop chasing mean and earthly things?
I think that we have to do something. We don't do nothing. So start chasing what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like pursuing Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, that relationship, removing the obstacles to doing that, removing, one of the things I was just sharing before was, I love R&B music, but, and I wanted, you know, I was thinking about going to see Janet Jackson and everything, but then I started listening to some of her later albums, and I was like, I don't know if I want to sit and go to a concert and listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to fill my mind with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some way, somehow, on YouTube, I found this song, Proverbs, set to R&B, like what the Proverbs would sound like in R&B. And I started listening to it, and I was like, oh, this is beautiful, and it sounds so good. And it was like a gift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a gift to me, and I said, you know, that it just filled my mind and my heart with just gratitude. I was just grateful to be able to listen to something I love, the sound with the words of God. So just, I don't know, just asking God and pursuing, you know, eternal treasures.
Amen. You may go ahead.
They say it takes 21 days to create a habit. Like, if every day we replace something that we know that's wrong doing with something that's Christ-like, and just take it one day at a time, and it'll start to become repetitive in our mind and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of Psalms 37, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart.
Amen. You know, I think about, you know, when you chase earthly things, I think of some of the examples that God gives us in the Bible. We know the man who built the barn and built all that stuff and said, man, this is good what I have. And he got comfortable. And the Lord said, you fool, your life will be what? The minute of this night. God is not against us having things. It's just about what we value most. Creation or the creator. What's provided or the provider. That's all God is saying. But, you know, Solomon speaks from a point of, he's chased a lot of earthly things. And he's found out, it's meaningless. I'm going after all this stuff. And this means, I remember telling a friend one time, this when I was jumping to my houses. I said, brother, somebody had this house before I moved in it. And guess what? When I moved out, guess what? Somebody else is going to have it. You know, it's good to have a home. But not so much that you're like, this home, it's just going to be everything. And this is who I am. You know, we have to be careful. We have to stop chasing earthly things. And that's what Solomon's point in Ecclesiastes was like. It's meaningless when you put all your hope and all the things that are in this earth, on this planet, it's meaningless. You know, and so we have to look at our value in God, our creator, the provider. The next one said, why should we anchor our life in what is eternal versus what is worldly? You know, there's a lot of people, you know, they love the world. Maybe because they don't know no better. Maybe because they don't understand. Maybe they do and they just feel like, I don't care. But for us, why should we anchor our lives in what is eternal versus what is worldly?
Because this is ending, it's fleeing, and what's eternal is going to take us beyond what this earthly realm right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should look to find ourselves grounded in reading and what is eternal. Mm-hmm. Because again, this is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no salvation in what is earthly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And like he said, I mean, it is meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally, when I first became Christian, I put a list of things to God that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I got everything. But then I didn't think past 30. Okay, so I became a Christian younger. Past 30 was old to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At that time. I was like 19 when I became a Christian. So I didn't think past 30, so I didn't know what to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
Or what to ask for after that. And it doesn't matter what you are looking for. It's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to last. Everything's going to burn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything's going to be made used.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think nobody was thinking past 19. Like, you old folks, you old, y'all don't know. Hey, like, we're never going to get old. I think we all were like that. And now here we are. Lord, what happened? Yeah. You know, I think about the rich young ruler. We all know the story of him. I think as you get older, you appreciate all the scriptures in the Bible. And I love this one in particular because he came to Jesus. He says, "What must I do to follow you?" And, you know, Jesus, you know, told him what he needed to do. And he says, "I've done all this." And Jesus confirmed it. He confirmed it. He said, you've done all this. I thought, wow, that's amazing. You have all this money. You have all this. And Jesus says, "You've done this." He says, "You lack one thing. You got to go give up all your money." Now, I don't know if he was a billionaire, a millionaire during the time, but he was very wealthy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "You lack one thing. And it's going to compete. It's going to be competition for me." But Jesus said, "Because you're going to have a hard time making me Lord versus your earthly money, your wealth." And so I think about stuff like that, you know. It's like he had to get rid of the fall of Jesus, and Jesus said, "It's just hard." He says, "It's easy for a camel to go through what? The eye of a needle." You know? And sometimes our life is like that with certain things. For him, it was money. You know, for us, what is it? You know, it's like, what is it that a camel says, "Oh, it's easy for me to go through the eye of a needle versus you changing this or giving up this?" You know, we have to see value in what God's offering versus what the world is offering. Somebody's gonna say something, bro.
Oh boy, this is making me think about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think what we value, you know, is it really worth anything to us right now? You know, I mean, we all want the niceries and all of that good stuff, but we just need to, you know, kind of rethink it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, I don't think God, you know, doesn't want us to have those things, mm-hmm. but what's more important?
Yeah.
And just to think, you know, Solomon was probably the wisest in his time for mm-hmm. him to say meaningless, you know, that was something to be said. You know, he said life is meaningless when mm-hmm. you look at all of these things that we accomplish, all of these things that, these accolades, and then we get to the cross, and then it means nothing. Yeah. You know, we get to that day, and then God says, "Leave me, because I never knew you." You know.
Yeah.
And when you look back, all of that is meaningless. It didn't get you eternal life, and that's what I strive is for, eternal life in Jesus Christ. So,
yeah.
I'm like Felisa. It's a good thought. You know, where our urgency is. Is it urgency eternal, or is it urgency earthly?
Yeah.
You think about it, it's kind of like a kid, you know, for Christmas. They want all these things, all these toys and stuff, and they get them for Christmas on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then before New Year's Day comes, they put that aside
right.
And go, you
exactly.
know,
yeah.
following something else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think about Solomon and a lot of those past kings. Where is their wealth now? Where is all the riches and stuff he had? You don't hear about people talking about it. Never, never. I read something that said that it talked about how you would not remember the generation before the generation that you know. And it got me thinking about, like, I know my grandparents, but I don't even know my grandparents' grandparents. And it said, those generations will be forgotten. you would not remember them at all. And I thought about that, you know. And so we need to make sure that, you know, our life is anchored on the right thing. Our values in the right thing. God's not against you having as much as you can have. Because look at Solomon. What he's against is when all that stuff becomes your God. And you value more than him. Finally, when life feels meaningless, who should you look to? The world or Jesus, and why?
Is it like an example of perseverance?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, like we think we can control things, but we be weighing ourselves down.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jesus wouldn't give us, put us in meaningless situations and give us like meaningless terms to life and how to navigate throughout life.
Yeah.
I think his example, you know, his, looking at how did he talk about life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How did he live?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of decisions did he make
mm-hmm.
when he was tempted? You know, I'm just thinking about he lived the most meaningful life
mm-hmm.
in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And it was all about others.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was all about others.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
It's very challenging.
Pour yourself into others. Yeah, yeah. I think we learn a lot pouring ourselves into others. It just depends on who you're pouring yourself into. You know, if it's a family member, it's different. If it's a friend, it's different. If it's a stranger, it's like there's different levels for how you pour yourself into people, depending on your relationships and connection with them. You know. I was talking to a client the other day, and she's she's not retired. she's 70. She's a counselor, trained, paid, licensed, and she does it for a church. And she used to do it for a living before she did it for the church. And she had an accident. Some guys were cutting trees, and they were waving her through, and a branch fell on the car. And she said, you know, they didn't even say they were sorry. And so she just kind of went on talking and talking and just listening, you know. And the one thing she says, I'm sorry, you have a lot of patience. I said, just keep talking, you know, because I had to get the work done. But I know people deal with trauma. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in order for them to tell me what I need to know, they have to talk it out, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, I think one of the things, you know, is that you're talking about pointing yourself into people. One of the things is just a lot of people I deal with, I just have to listen sometimes because to get what I need to get, mm-hmm. I need to allow them to go through that process and let them talk. And the one thing she said stuck with me. She says, you was on that phone maybe about 30 minutes of her just talking. She said, you have a lot of patience. I said, well, thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, thank you. But I think a lot of that comes from me and my situation with Sharice, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you put yourself into people, your character will show who you are and people will take notice of that.
I want to share, like, this week, I was in my office, and the lady, she was in HR, so she called me to her office. She wanted me to come upstairs to her office.
Mm-hmm.
They moved me on the first floor out of my actual office, so I had a cubicle, so they had a fire drill. Mm-hmm. I don't have to try to go down those staircases, you know, because mm-hmm. we had several, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. No big fire drill, so y'all mm-hmm. got to move me. So they did. But this thing that was surprising, when I went to her office, I'm like, was in HR. But when I got to her office, what she wanted was, she wanted me to talk to one of her staff members.
Mm-hmm.
The point was, you don't know how people see you or notice you
mm-hmm.
to have you come and talk with someone and give them, you know, not our business advice, but life advice.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I was just surprised that she saw me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in HR. You know,
mm-hmm.
and asked me to come up and talk to one of her staff members.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, Lord, you know, sometimes when you think you're in this huge place and, you know, hundreds of people going through, you don't know who's paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so at all times, I was more convicted with that than ever, mm-hmm. that we need to be showing who Jesus is at all times.
Amen.
Because we don't ever know who is watching us and who is looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, not was I big-headed with that, but it was more like a humility to say, oh my God, I got to be on my guard even more so to make sure that, you know, people are seeing, you know, who Jesus is in my life for me. And so I was just humble with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 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 So when life feels meaningless, who should we look to? It's always, the easy answer is always going to be Jesus. I think it's an execution. Will you do that? Will you look to Jesus? No matter what the situation, no matter what you're dealing with mentally, emotionally, physically, no matter how challenging it is, will you really look to Jesus? And sometimes you may have to wrestle for a while. I was talking to a brother recently, and he gave me some information. Well, I got to wrestle with that. I said, you know, I just got to wrestle with that. I got to wrestle with that. And, you know, that's me. Like, I'm turning to Jesus, but I got to wrestle with this, you know, and pray the Lord doesn't dislocate my hip like Jacob, you know. You know, I just need to make sense, Lord. Make it make sense. You know, but you know, those are things that, you know, we know we need to look to Jesus. It's easy to say, I'm going to do it, and it should be that. But sometimes our heart needs to get there, and we need to wrestle with God on the issue to get there. Rich, go to the next screen. Rich, you read that for us.
Remember, when life feels repetitive, God is faithful. When life feels empty, God is present. When life feels meaningless, God is writing a story bigger than you can see under the sun.
I think that's something that we really need to remember that. We have moments like Solomon where we feel like this is meaningless. It's not even worth it. Why do it? Why be involved? What's it for? You can feel a sense of hopelessness. But we have to remember that God is writing a story here.
Mm-hmm.
It's his story. We're a part of his story. And our part in that story is that, guess what? Our life is a gift. It is a true gift that God considers to say, you need to be alive. You need to be living. I believe you're important enough to be created. And we need to find contentment up under the sun that God created. And we need to find contentment up under God's sun. We need to remember that life does have a purpose at times when we feel like things are meaningless. I think Solomon's done a great job writing his feeling and expressing his feeling. I think Solomon was in a very unique situation, having all the money during his time in the world, having been the smartest guy he know during his time in the world. Can you imagine having a conversation with him and he's the smartest person? Don't you hate the person saying he's always right? Can you imagine sitting talking to this guy, he's always right? That'd be a lot of wrestling with God during that time. I mean, you think about it, he had all the money. He's always right. Wow. But you know what? I'm so glad the position that God has put us in. Whether we have all money or have no money at all, whether we're right or wrong, life is a gift. Life has a purpose as long as we make sure that we're leaning into Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for communion.